Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 57. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining us today is Heather Kurtstetter from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Heather is a social worker and about to graduate from college, and she has SMA type 3. Heather, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Really excited about this one. And I found you through Instagram, and you've got plenty of followers there. So we'll definitely be talking about that and your advocacy work, anything like that. So, to go ahead and get started, Heather, why don't you tell us a little bit just about your background and when you were diagnosed with SMA, and just for you, what it was like growing up with a disability?
Sure. So let's see. I was diagnosed around 18 months-ish. My parents noticed that while I was walking, I wasn't really, meeting all the milestones that everybody else would. So they kind of figured something. They kind of actually figured that I might have had SMA because I do have a sister who passed away from SMA. So it was kind of suspected. And then as far as growing up with a disability, I guess, honestly, I really think that my life was pretty, quote unquote, normal. I did pretty much everything that anybody else did. I lived a very independent life. I mean, aside from, losing my ability to walk at some point and stuff like that, it just, everything seemed, typical.
Sure. And touching on that too, so you mentioned your sister. Can you talk just a little bit about your family life growing up, either with your sister or any other siblings, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I grew up, my dad was a single father, so I grew up in the household with my dad and also my younger brother. I do have an older brother, but he didn't really live with me. And then I also had my older sister who passed away from SMA when she was, I think, 8 months old or 9 months old, okay. Something like that.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned having more of a normal life and parents treated you, just like anyone else. What were some of the things you were interested in growing up, like when you were in school and navigating all that? What were some of your passions and hobbies?
So when I was in, middle school and high school and stuff, I did a lot of choir, musical theater, and acting. Those were my big passions. I was in a lot of musicals growing up. I can't even count the number of times I had, solos and duets and things like that. So I was really, really big into music and the music scene and just, that was the greatest thing for me.
That's great. I was actually a big theater kid too. I couldn't sing to save my life, but I was big into acting and writing.
That's awesome.
Oh, I loved it. And on that note too, so I had pretty good luck in terms of finding accessibility. And, I remember when I first started venturing into acting, like in late elementary school, my mom did have that concern about like, oh my gosh, what if the stage isn't accessible and all that? And, all those concerns. And, for the most part, I had really accommodating teachers and instructors. But was that ever an issue for you? Did you ever have any, I remember like in middle and high school, we would travel to other schools to do shows too. So was that ever an issue when you were doing all that?
I actually got pretty lucky, I would say, in that most of the schools in the area that I grew up in were built, with a lot of accessibility in mind. And so all of the theaters that I have ever performed in had a ramp to get on stage and all of that. So I never experienced any inaccessibility, but I do think that I experienced a little bit of like, I wasn't casted for the roles that I had the talent for because of the wheelchair and because I couldn't do, the dancing parts of it all and stuff like that. So I guess there was a little bit of that. But I mean, as far as accessibility goes, it was perfect, spot on.
That's great. Yeah, well, and the thing about being, just what you said about being cast and stuff, do you remember, I think it was about a year ago, I'm blanking on her name, but there was a Broadway actress with a disability who won a Tony. And it was a bit like, she had come from Glee. That was really cool. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that is an issue of like, it's like sometimes people with disabilities get kind of token roles, you know? And so it's cool. Yes. I think that is changing more so, but it is, I mean, it's still a problem, I think, is, you know, like they see the chair and that's it, you know? And so I was fortunate to have that kind of inclusiveness when I was growing up, but I've heard plenty of stories where, you know, there is still discrimination in that regard. So it's an important topic for sure. And also growing up in a school, did you have an aide with you or what kind of accommodations did you need?
Well, yes and no. I had an aide, but I kind of maybe might have shunned her a little bit. And to the point where she didn't really go with me from class to class. She only really helped me during my bathroom breaks and things like that.
Okay.
I don't know. I just kind of, I wanted things to be as typical as possible. And I didn't really like having somebody shadowing me because I just felt like I could do all the things on my own without her. Looking back on it, though, I kind of wish that I had her with me because it would have taught, like, me in the future how to deal with, you know, my assistants that I have now. So, yeah.
That's actually something I wrote about one time was like, so I always had aides with me and I had various one, like, I think my first one would have stuck with me really like through from elementary school up, but, she had to move after first grade. And so I went through several and then I was fortunate to have a, one from like end of seventh grade through my high school graduation. And that was really great. But yeah, no, it really did, I think, prepare me for speaking up for myself once the time came for caregivers and all that. So I think that's the perfect segue, actually, is I wanted to add, so about college and caregivers. So while we're on this subject, let's talk first about caregivers. So when was the first time you started hiring PCAs, you know, and having care outside of your family?
Yeah, so I was, let's see, I moved out of my dad's home. I think I was maybe like 20 or 21. Mm-hmm. And I was originally going to school in Orlando, Florida. And that's where I was hiring my first caregivers.
And what was that experience like in terms of finding the right people and interviewing? I know part of what you're going to say, because I know the process all too well, but
it was daunting. I mean, I had some of the wildest people apply for this job, and then I had some really wacky interviews, and just finding the right fit is still one of the most complicated things I do as a disabled person. And it's such a learning curve. I mean, like, I had times where I was like, I can't do this. I need to move home. Like, I really cannot handle not only the hiring process, but actually, like, being around these assistants as much as I was. Because, you know, they kind of turn into friends, but they're not really friends, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess they are to me now.
Sure.
But at the time, I didn't have that mindset. It was super complicated in the beginning.
Sure, sure. Well, and like the friend thing, it's like really dependent on the situation, on the person. Because it's like, I've had the same primary CNA for going on 6 years now. And he's one of my best friends. And like, we, you know, bicker like brothers. And we love each other like brothers and all that. And but then I've had plenty of others who, you know, either just came once or a few times. And yeah, absolutely. It's always kind of a never-ending circle of people and, you know, and it's absolutely a learning curve, especially that first time. You said that was in Florida. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Florida.
Okay, gotcha. So that brings me to my next question about college. So you started off in school there. Can you just talk about your college transition and, you know, and I know you're in Philly now, so can you just talk about that and the moving process, all of that?
This is going to sound maybe a little bit wacky to you, but
it's all good.
I've actually lived in 5 different states, and I've moved from one state to another, to another, to another, independently. And it is a big, big, complicated, convoluted thing to do, but I wouldn't have traded what I've done for the world. And I'm grateful to have ended up in Philadelphia. that being so, I'm finishing my schooling here in Philadelphia to get my master's in social work.
Gotcha.
I moved around a lot for school and for job and relationships and just like a whole bunch of, you know, things. Kind of felt like maybe like a nomad for a while, you know, but I'm settling here and sure. I love it here. So
that's great. That's great. Yeah. So where did you go for undergrad?
Undergrad, I went to the University of Central Florida.
Okay.
In Orlando.
Gotcha. And were you originally set on social work or did that kind of evolve later?
No, it totally evolved. I was dead set on linguistics.
Oh, wow.
I worked in linguistics for a while and that was my jam. And then I just realized, like, I don't know, all this freelancing it was really complicated and hard. And I just wanted a career that I knew I was for sure going to have a job in. I mean, social workers, everybody needs a social worker. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So you switched there eventually. And then when did you start working on your master's degree?
I started in August of 2018.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Backtrack a little. Okay, so you said 5 states you've moved to. So was that all in the time since starting college?
Yeah, that was from 21 on. So I'm 30 now. So mm-hmm. 5 states in 9 years.
That's good. Can you run through them real quick? I'm just curious.
Yeah. I lived in Florida. I lived in Washington, D.C. I lived in Texas. I lived in California. And then back to Florida. And then now here in Philly.
Wow. And were all of those living independently? Or, like, when you started college, did you go straight to an apartment? Were you doing on-campus housing? Where, you know?
I've done a mix of both. I've lived in dorms and I've lived in apartments by myself as well.
Gotcha. Gotcha. What would you say out of all those transitions, either some of the biggest takeaways from it and the challenges you face, like that might help other people with disabilities if they're thinking about that, about moving in general?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my biggest piece of advice is if you're thinking about moving, it's worth it. It's so invigorating and so, like, I don't know. It's just something kind of magical to be able to make that happen as a person with a disability. I mean, it's kind of like no big deal for everybody else, but putting those pieces together, and it really is like a jigsaw puzzle, putting those pieces together and making it work for yourself, having a disability, is just so amazing once you get the final product. But I think the biggest challenge and always my critique in this is that, like, you know, programs don't transfer state to state. And yeah. So, I mean, you have to be just so prepared. So like in your element, you have to know what you're doing, because if you get somewhere and you're applying for things and you don't know what you're doing, it's a really tough transition. So, I mean, just like my advice would be to, like, you know, be on top of it, consistently educate yourself and plan so far in advance.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm sure all of that knowledge and firsthand experience comes into play huge in your career, being on the other side of it as a social worker.
Exactly. That's exactly why I went into social work. I was like, I know how to do this stuff,
yeah,
and I can help other people do it.
That's great. And on that note, so when did you first start your first job in social work?
I actually just started it.
Oh, wow.
Just started it. I mean, I've done, like, internships.
Sure.
As a social work intern, but I have just started my first job, like, in the last week.
Wow. It's quite a time to start a new job, too.
It's a very complicated time to start a new job.
Well, on that note, I don't want to spend too much time on COVID talk, but this actually is my first interview with someone, you know, in the midst of this pandemic. So, and I think that's a fascinating anecdote to start on. So what is it like? I mean, did you have the job lined up before all this started, or was this literally just in the past couple weeks?
I kind of knew that I was going to transition into the job. It was something that my supervisor had told me, like, we can create this position for you. So that's kind of how it happened. But I didn't expect to be working remotely, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's been, I guess, kind of nice, but also kind of complicated, because I'm one of those people that, like, gets easily distracted by everything. So, you know, just trying to make it work.
For sure. And what is the job in any way focused on clients with disabilities, or is it more of a general social work position?
No, it definitely is. So it's in workforce development. Okay. And my specific role in the organization is to kind of amplify the voices of people with disabilities in the North Philadelphia area around, you know, getting jobs and being employed and having employers know how to engage employees with disabilities and so on. So it's really, really wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, I'm really glad that, I mean, that's something good to happen in the midst of all this craziness. So, well, and another good thing too, I saw on Instagram that you just started a new relationship, within the last month. So, could you talk a little bit about that?
That's true. I have a boyfriend. His name is Tyler. It's a long distance relationship. He lives in Michigan, and he also has SMA, so I think that's pretty cool.
That's really cool. Did you guys connect, like, online, or?
Yeah, so we went and figured this out because we're geeks like that. it turns out that we've been following each other on Instagram for over 2 years.
Wow.
So that's weird. But a couple months ago, he started following me on Twitter. And I had gotten approval for a new wheelchair, and so he reached out to congratulate me, and then we've been talking since, so.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm curious, too, so, like, him also having SMA, being a big disability advocate, so I've had plenty of other couples on the podcast before, and I think in all of those scenarios, it's been one person has SMA, the other one doesn't, and, you know, and that's a fascinating thing to talk about as well, but with you guys having both have a SMA, what are the dynamics there, if you don't mind me asking? I mean, just like, I mean, I know, and of course, long distance, and right now, I'm actually be a while before you can see each other with quarantine going on, but I'm just curious kind of what, and if there are any nuances to that relationship, and what's it like navigating?
Something that I think is really powerful about this relationship that I'm in right now is that the both of us having SMA, we have really, really similar, like, you know, advocacy, you know, ideas and ideals, and we can relate to each other in ways that, you know, I couldn't possibly relate with a non-disabled person, you know, like,
sure.
We were talking about our spinal fusions recently, and just, like, thinking about, you know, how much pain we went through, mm-hmm. and just, like, you know, it's just, or with this COVID situation, you know, we both realized how dangerous it is for the both of us and how at risk we are, and just being able to have that person who we know gets it,
yeah.
Is something that is incredibly beautiful. You know, I think there's a lot of things that we're going to have to figure out as a couple, you know, like, not to get, like, too into it, but, like, you know, how to be intimate and things like that. Like, there's going to be some complications, of course, because we both have SMA, and, you know, we both have limitations in what we can do physically. But emotionally, this relationship is, like, everything in the world. It's so beautiful.
That's really cool. No, I mean, I think absolutely it's, like, you have that kind of relatability that, it, like you said, it's hard to have with other people. In the same way. So that's really cool. I'm really happy for you that in the midst of all the wrong in the world right now, you've got new relationship, new job. So that's very encouraging.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so happy right now.
That's great. And also, so I know we talked a little bit before starting recording that you are on Spinraza. So can you talk about how long you've been on that treatment and just any changes you've noticed since starting that process?
Yeah, so I was supposed to get my eighth dose in March, but it didn't happen because of COVID, and it's delayed indefinitely. So that's a bummer, but I think that Spinraza has been really amazing for me. The procedure itself kind of sucks and is scary, and I have a lot of anxiety and, you know, whatever. But what it's done for me is incredible. I mean, from starting it, you know, I have type 3, but I am on the very, very weak end of type 3. So I present more like a type 2. But since starting it, you know, I've gained a lot of function in my upper arms and my and being able to kick, which is something that I haven't been able to do in a real long time. I found maybe a couple months ago that I could bear weight, not stand. Stand is a bit excessive, but bear weight on my feet and lift my bottom up off of my chair. And I was like, I don't know the last time I've done this. So it's just like, it's opened. I mean, like, I'm not going to exaggerate it and say, like, you know, I can do all these things now. I can transfer and stuff. You know, I can't do any of that. But the littlest things are so big for people with SMA, in my opinion, anyway. And so these little tiny gains mean the absolute world to me.
Absolutely. I definitely agree there. For me, it's been a similar path of, like, you know, things like my voice improving and not running out of breath constantly and just, like, little movements. I mean, I'm not lifting my arms up or anything, but, you know, little gains go a long way. And do you do any kind of physical therapy in conjunction with it?
I don't. I should. But I just found that I don't really have the time for it.
Sure.
So I haven't. Maybe I'll start at some point.
You've got a lot on your plate, finishing up a master's and new job and everything. So, no, I was just curious.
Sure.
But, yeah, that's great, though. Just in closing, or I'm rambling here, wrapping up-ish, what's kind of, like, your daily life like right now in terms of working, finishing up school? What's a typical day of the week look like for you? And I could know it is uncertain times right now. It's different than it would be when the world's normal, but...
Yeah, I mean, I guess my days kind of look like, you know, doing some work, doing some homework. I've been trying to get in some reading for pleasure, which is nice. Learning how to crochet, which is also nice. I'm terrible at it. My SMA hands don't like that craft, but that's okay because I do. Really, I don't know, just, you know, make some food at some point and talk with my boyfriend at some point. And that's really all I've been doing, to be honest, you know, just taking each day as it comes because everything is so weird right now and there's no, like, set routine anymore. It just doesn't feel, you know, like there is a day to day.
Right. Has it affected your caregiver schedule at all, or do you have all the same people still coming?
I still have all the same people coming. The only thing that it's affected is, you know, how I interact with them and, you know, the measures we go to keep safe.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's great. No, this has been a fantastic conversation. And just in closing, we hit on this a little bit earlier, but if you just have any advice for other people with SMA or anyone in the community, really, about independence or anything else you want to touch on.
I really just want to tell people, I guess my word of advice is just, like, be fearless. And, you know, I know that we're all, you know, scared to do things sometimes, but, like, we can do so much. And just because, you know, maybe physically we're not as strong as other people doesn't mean that we're not 10 times as actually strong as people. Like, I really think that people with disabilities can move mountains and we can just do so much. And if you're willing to set your mind to it and really put in the work and put in the time and stuff, I honestly believe that anything is possible. And I think that I have gone far out of my way to prove that anything is possible in my life. So, yeah, I think that's what I want to say to people.
That's great. And also, where can listeners find you out there? Because I know you're active on social media, and that's where I found you.
Yeah, I'm probably too active on social media. I guess on Instagram, I have a lot of followers on Instagram, and anyone can follow me there. I'm open to it, at Let's Do This Heather. And then I'm also on Twitter and pretty active there as well, at HM Kerstetter, which nobody can spell that, but you can find it on Instagram. It's fine.
That's awesome. Well, Heather, thanks again for coming on today. This is a great discussion, and best of luck with the new job and everything.
Kevin, thank you for having me. You're awesome.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. Oh, well, this is great. And for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and follow our main website at smanewstoday.com for the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.